fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with boxing. World heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua has lined up his next fight. Joshua says he'll take on the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev June 20th at Tottenham Hotspur's new 62,000-seat stadium in London.
Manage your challenger, the responsibilities of being the newly crowned heavyweight champion of the world. I've got to follow the duties, and if I don't, I will be stripped of my title, which I don't want to be. I fought so hard to get them. So I'm up for the challenge. Good luck to him, and I'll be looking to keep my titles in London.
As Anthony Joshua looks to keep his titles in London, he's also sizing up the 38-year-old Pulev, who has won 28 of his 29 prize fights.
Been in the game for a while. He went to the top level, and then he got defeated. So he knows his way around the ring. He's had his chance at the top level, and now he's coming back again, so he's probably going to try and get it right. So I'll be expecting a more polished, smart Pulev, and he can bang a bit as well. He's had a few knockouts on his record as well. He can bang and he can box, so he's a boxer puncher, kind of like what my style is as well. So it'll be a good matchup for sure. So we're going to box, people are going to be seeing some skills, and they're probably going to see a knockout as well, because you've got two boxer punchers. So the best man will come up victorious.
Anthony Joshua was victorious December 7th, 2019, when he beat the Mexican-American Andy Ruiz Jr. in their rematch to win back his IBF, WBA, WBO, and IBO world title belts. Meanwhile, writing on Facebook, Kubrat Pulev said he's happy to have the opportunity to show the world how strong he really is. Nicknamed the Cobra, Pulev suffered his only loss in 2014 when then-world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko knocked him out in the fifth round. The Bulgarian was originally scheduled to fight Anthony Joshua in 2017 in Cardiff, Wales, but he pulled out because of an injury. Meanwhile, the promoter for WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury says there will be a third fight against American Deontay Wilder. Fury won the title last month with a seventh-round stoppage of Wilder. The two heavyweights fought to a split-decision draw in their first meeting in December 2018. Fury's promoter, Frank Warren, says the third fight will take place by the end of June or early July, no later than that. Warren adds the bout is contracted to take place here in the United States. In African boxing, two Ghanaian fighters have qualified for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Two boxers of the Ghana amateur boxing team, the Black Bombers, qualify for the 2020 Olympics in the just-ended African qualifiers held in Dakar, Senegal. The boxers who grabbed the slots are captain of the squad Suleiman Tete, flyweight, and featherweight Samuel Tachi. In all, 38 African countries, represented by 212 boxers, went into the Dakar competition to fight for quota qualifications of 22 for males and 11 for females. The Black Bombers of Ghana presented 10 males and 2 females for the Dakar tournament. Ghana's head coach Ofori Asar congratulated his boxers and thanked Ghanaians who assisted and supported the Black Bombers.
We thank everybody for the support they give us, because without that, we'll not be able to get this far. We compete squarely with every country that was here. We fought with Algeria 2 times. We won one. They also won one. We fought with Mozambique 3 times. We won 2. They won 1. We fought with Morocco 2 times. We won 1. They won 1. We fought with all the countries that we fought with. Uganda, we fought with them 3 times. We won 2. They won 1. So we thank everybody, and we still need your support. We want to go to France to be able to qualify more bosses, because we want to go to the Olympic Games to make a mark.
coach Ofori Asare said chances are there for his boxer to qualify during the World Olympic qualifying tournament to be held in May in France capital, Paris. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 143 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. In Tokyo Tuesday, Japan's Olympic minister Seiko Hashimoto said the games could be postponed until later in the year amid fears over the coronavirus outbreak. Hashimoto said Tokyo's contract with the International Olympic Committee calls for the games to be held within 2020. She said that could be interpreted as allowing a postponement. However, Hashimoto added, and I quote, "We are doing all we can to ensure the games go ahead as planned." IOC President Thomas Bach says his organization remains very confident with regard to the success of the 2020 Tokyo Games, and Bach encouraged all athletes to continue their preparations with, in his words, full steam. Well, it's full steam ahead for Ugandan athlete Joshua Cheptegei, who is hoping to get on the Olympic podium in Tokyo. The 23-year-old Cheptegei had a very successful 2019. Joshua won a world title at 10,000 meters on the track, and he also won the senior men's race at the World Cross Country Championships. And Joshua looks to be in fine form early in 2020. Last month, Cheptegei set a new 5-kilometer road world record in Monaco, where he clocked 12 minutes and 51 seconds. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinj has reaction for us from Kampala, Uganda.
According to the Runner's World website, Cheptegei attacked the pace from the gun, breaking away from the field with an opening kilometers of 2 minutes 31 seconds and held a pace of between 2 minutes and 35 seconds before eventually completing at a speed of 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
I can say I'm really more excited and I'm happy about it and I'm delighted. Of course, I'm honored to come to Monaco and run a world record. It's really a great feeling.
Francis Jimmy Gracia finished second and set a new European record of 13 minutes and 18 seconds, while British Nick Gulab finished third. The Ugandan runner produced one of the finest performances and became the third man in history to win both the 5,000 meters and 10,000 double at the Commonwealth Games. Cheptegei went on to crush the Games record to claim the 10,000 meters gold at the Doha World Championships.
For sure, I'm really unstoppable, and I've been winning race after race from the beginning of 2019. After the setback of the national cross country where I became second, of course I went to the world cross country where I won the gold, and then from there to the Diamond League champion, from there to Doha, from Doha to the world record of 10K, and now the 5K world record.
He attributes his success to discipline and hard work. Cheptegei trains in his homeland, Kapchorwa, that stands at an altitude of 2,573 meters above sea level, where he will be based as he trains for this year's Olympic Games. In 2016, he participated in the Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games, where he placed 8th and 6th in 5,000 meters and 10,000 finals, respectively. Cheptegei says he believes he can do better this time around.
I don't want to put a lot of expectations in from the fans, of course, out there, but just know that I'm really good at doing my best and I won't disappoint. If I'm feeling good and healthy, I can, of course, bring the title home and that would be my joy. make you guys happy and make our country proud.
Joshua Cheptegei's hard work and success has been recognized both locally and internationally. Last year, he was nominated for the Male World Athlete of the Year by the International Association of Athletics Federation, or IAAF, an accolade that was won by his East African compatriot, Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Greetings, this is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The Athletics Federation of Nigeria says it has set a target of 2 gold medals at the Tokyo Olympic Games. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the federation's president, Ibrahim Gusau.
We're qualified in some events, and then there are some events that we're yet to qualify. So we're working hard to see Nigeria is qualified in those events. So we're working hard, I can tell you, and I believe we have the athletes that will qualify us for that. And then taking it further, of course, it's not only appearing in the Olympics. We have what we want to achieve, and I've set that as a goal, which at an earlier meeting with the ministry, we informed them our target. I'm sure you are aware that of all federations, the Athletics Federation of Nigeria is the only federation that has produced 2 gold medals and, of course, a couple of silvers and bronze. But the 2 gold medals are in different Olympics. In each of the Olympic, we got a gold medal and, you know, not more than that. So our target for this Olympic is to have the minimum of 2 gold medals in 1 Olympic. And I think it's achievable. We have the athletes. We're trying our best to see how these athletes are supported to achieve that feat.
Talking about the welfare of athletes, what is it that the federation has done to motivate the athletes, to keep them in shape and to ensure that they are focused for the Olympic Games?
I can tell you we're trying to put things together to see the motivation you are talking about. We're talking to corporate organizations, and of course, because it's an international event, we expect that all hands will be on deck for the motivation to happen. But I assure you, the athletes are in high morale, and what we've told them is convincing enough that they will see the motivation coming. And not only that, you know, aside from the motivation, we're trying as much as possible to see them participate in different meets so that will put them in shape. And of course, we have a flexibility between the camping and the appearance in different meets so that will put them in shape and in the best form for the Olympic medal.
Apart from the all-comers athletics competition that your federation has organized, do you have plans for other events or programs or athletic championships to put these athletes in top shape for the Olympic Games?
No, definitely. Like I said to you, we know those athletes that have qualified for some events. We already know them. And you know, qualification window closes around June, July. Okay. So we still have a window. And this window, we will have meets where we'll send these athletes. Like I said to you earlier, there are qualifications that, for example, in the relays, we need qualifications in the relay. So we're working hard to see which meets our athletes will participate to qualify for the relays and, of course, put them in shape. That will be part of the training for the Olympic appearance.
That's Ibrahim Gusau, the president of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Ozoro, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. Yes. This is Honorable Ibrahim Shehu Gusau, President, Athletics Federation of Nigeria, President, ECOWAS Region 2 Athletics, Vice President, Africa, CAA. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
The coronavirus outbreak has caused the cancellation and postponement of numerous international sporting events. This evening, VOA's Gwen Uten looks at how coronavirus has affected Asian and English football. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Monday, the Asian Football Confederation announced that group stage matches in the Asian Champions League could be delayed until the latter part of July. That announcement followed an emergency meeting at AFC headquarters in Kuala Lumpur, where members met to discuss contingency plans for the continent's leading club competition. The AFC added provisions would be made to extend the group phase beyond its scheduled late May finish, but that would depend on whether or not league and cup matches continue to be postponed in Japan, South Korea, and China. The AFC has been struggling to deal with the impact of the coronavirus on its scheduled competitions since the early part of February. Last weekend, the governing body expressed hope for a swift return to normal, but said the health and safety of everyone associated with soccer remains a top priority. The effects of the coronavirus have crossed borders and disrupted the soccer calendar in Europe as well, and there has been speculation that the outbreak could spread into Britain and disrupt the Premier League. The Premier League, FA, and English Football League have been in talks to discuss the costs and implications of staging games behind closed doors if the coronavirus continues to spread. That would be a worst-case scenario option, but it would allow Premier League leaders Liverpool to clinch the title. That discussion follows news reports that the coronavirus outbreak could force the season to end early and halt Liverpool's bid for a title. But on Monday, manager Jurgen Klopp said Liverpool fans were never paranoid about that.
I don't think that our fans are paranoid. I think people who are not interested in us bringing up these stories. I can't believe that Liverpool fans are thinking about it. And I actually speak to Liverpool fans. Anybody wants to ask me about that and how much sense it would make to delete all the results of this season and tell me who will play next year Champions League and stuff like this would be really interesting. It's a nice story. Obviously, some newspapers have always to write something. But when I saw it first time, I really thought, wow, really something. Somebody thinks something like that. So Liverpool fans are not silly enough to believe in these things.
Klopp's remarks followed his side's surprise 3-0 defeat at Watford on Saturday. That loss marked Liverpool's first defeat in 44 matches in the league, a streak that began in January of 2019. The Reds still have a comfortable lead at the top of the table, 22 points ahead of second-place Manchester City. And the Reds only need 4 wins from their remaining 10 games to win their first Premier League title in 30 years. And on Monday, Klopp said his side is prepared to do all it can to not lose 2 games in a row.
No, the defeat has nothing to do with the lineup tomorrow night, but the lineup will be shown tomorrow night, and not now and here. We have no clue what Chelsea's doing. Why should Chelsea know what we are doing? And that's it pretty much. We always played the team who gave us the best opportunity to go to the next round. That was for different reasons. So it's always the physical demands of a season, stuff like this. When are the games? How are the boys in that moment? Fitness level, stuff like this, injuries, coming back from injuries, stuff like this. It was always like this, yes, with a little exception of the last 3 play against Shrewsbury, how we all know. But apart from that, it was always the same. It will be like this as well.
Well, despite the coronavirus outbreak, it is business as usual in the FA Cup. The Liverpool match at Chelsea will take place on Tuesday. Meanwhile, talks continue over concerns about the coronavirus. The AFC is set to meet with FIFA officials this week to discuss the upcoming World Cup and Asia Cup qualifying matches. International Champions Cup matches scheduled to take place in Asia this summer have already been canceled, and Olympic qualifiers have been moved out of China, with many Chinese teams and athletes training elsewhere. We will keep you posted on any updates about the coronavirus outbreak and its impact on sporting events. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Miami Heat beat the NBA-leading Milwaukee Bucks by 16 points. The AP's Christopher Stock reports from Miami, Florida.
Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder each scored 18 points to help lead the Miami Heat to a 105-89 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Bam Adebayo scored 14 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and played stellar defense on Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was held to 13 points.
They just make it tough. The Heat, they're a team that play hard for 48 minutes, and that's what they did tonight. Not just tough for me, it's tough for everybody.
The Heat are the only team to have beaten the Bucks twice this season. Brooke Lopez led Milwaukee with 21 points. The Heat pulled away late in the third quarter and led by double digits most of the fourth on their way to their third straight win. Christopher Stock, Miami.
Thanks, Christopher. From Miami, let's go to New York, where the New York Knicks edged the Houston Rockets by 2 points. The AP's Tom Merriam reports from New York.
The Houston Rockets' six-game winning streak was snapped by the New York Knicks, 125-123. Knicks rookie R.J. Barrett tied his career high with 27 points, including a key driving layup in the final seconds that proved to be the margin of victory for New York. The Rockets, down 19 late in the third quarter, had a chance to tie at the final buzzer, but Russell Westbrook's jumper bounced off the rim, capping off a disappointing night for him and his teammates against one of the NBA's worst teams this season.
Just wasn't ready to play. That simple. Can't take games like this lightly. It's the NBA. It's the league. Everybody goes out and compete. You gotta be ready to play.
Westbrook finished with 24 points, while James Harden led all scorers with 35.
Every game counts. You know, obviously tonight we let one up, but good thing about this league, we got another one on Thursday. And just continue to keep building. Start another winning streak.
Tom Arium, New York.
Thanks, Tom. We just heard from James Harden. The Rockets guard is leading the NBA in scoring, averaging almost 35 points per game. And Harden also leads the league in three-point shots made, with 261. In more NBA results Monday night, the Utah Jazz scored a 126-113 road victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Croatian Bojan Bogdanović scored 28 points for the Jazz, while Colin Sexton scored a career-high 32 points for the Cavaliers. Elsewhere, the Portland Trailblazers also won on the road, routing the Orlando Magic in Florida 130-107. Point guard C.J. McCollum scored a season-high 41 points for the Blazers. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Senegalese forward Gorgui Dieng of the Memphis Grizzlies. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds Monday night for the Grizzlies, who clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 127-88. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele, who clocked a course record time of 1 hour and 22 minutes in winning Sunday's Vitality Big Half Marathon in London. And that wraps up the March 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mookville Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers led by Binghamton University in Upper New York State is reporting that they have discovered the remains of the oldest forest in Earth's history. The scientists say their discovery provides evidence that the transition from ancient to modern forests began earlier than thought. What the research team found while going through ancient soil near Cairo, New York, were the remnants of an extensive root system of 385 million-year-old trees. This discovery is said to predate the fossil forest at nearby Gilboa, New York, which formerly held the title of world's oldest forest. The researchers say they found three different tree species within the ancient widespread root system. While seed-bearing plants didn't emerge until some 10 million years later, the trees forming the ancient root system had qualities similar to modern seed plants. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.